Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week.
Hello all, and welcome into this week's episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week we're talking about poems to do with oceans. The ocean? Just sort of that big body of water that is everywhere and makes up more of the planet than the actual land does. I could waffle on, but there's not really something to explain in this intro section as I would for maybe a device, so let me just dive straight in. Okay, so our first poem today is Any Fool Can Into an Ocean by Jack Spicer. Any fool can get into an ocean, but it takes a goddess to get out of one. What's true of oceans is true, of course, of labyrinths and poems. When you start swimming through riptide of rhythms and the metaphor seaweed, you need to be a good swimmer or a born goddess to get back out of them. Look at the sea otters, bobbing wildly, out in the middle of the poem. They look so eager and peaceful playing out there where the water hardly moves. You might get through all the waves and rocks into the middle of the poem to touch them, but when you've tried the blotted water long enough to want to start backwards, that's when the fun starts. Unless you're a poet or an otter or something supernatural, you'll drown, dear. You'll drown. Any Greek can get you into a labyrinth, but it takes a hero to get out of one. What's true of labyrinths is true, of course, of love and memory, when you start remembering. So this poem is really interesting and fun, and it just... I was digging around for poems about the ocean, about all of the oceans, and there's so many. There's, you know, I knew there was going to be a lot because it's a popular topic and it's big and it's whatever. And there was a lot talking about, like, the majesty of it. And to me, I've always been a little bit afraid of the ocean, like, you know, because it's scary. But I think this, talking about the ocean as a metaphor for poetry, and, like, anyone can write poetry, or anyone can make an attempt at writing poetry, and just like this idea of drowning and trying to get every single, you know, rhythm, rhyme, line length to work in a free verse poem is so interesting to make that choice. And the allusions to, like, Greek mythology and comparing the poet to the goddess or the hero, and being like, you either, I mean, to me at least, that's, that read as sort of a, like, you are either born understanding poetry or you work at understanding it and you fight to understand it. Like the sea otters thing, and like, those are water creatures, and of course they're naturally going to be able to live in that space, but it, like, takes you pushing and, you know, fighting to actually get to exist in that space or have an understanding of that space as it is, which I don't know if I necessarily agree with, because I think poetry can be for everyone, but I think there are some elements of poetry that are more obfuscated unless you, like, learn about them and know about them, and there are elements that's like, if you're really keenly getting into it, then yes, that's more interesting if you know all the stuff. But I don't think that makes it inaccessible as a whole. I just, like, think it's just a juicy little detail for those in the know. Okay, so the next poem is Things to Remember When Descending Through the Ocean by Sandra Castro. In stories of the open sea, there is no ending, only endless descent. Epipelagic. The sunlit zone of the ocean is where most life cavorts. Jellyfish and tuna clasp and sway with dolphins and sharks, waltz through the tides, pushed and pulled by the movements of concatenate celestial bodies, the Newton's cradle of sun, moon and earth, swinging in the rhythm of spring tides. Mesopelagic. Not everything committed to twilight stays there forever. Those living here can still ascend to feed, but only at night. The waters retain the memory of sunlight that once caressed each creature who has chosen darkness, though there is still further down, down to go, and cold is patient forever. Bathypelagic. Near the bottom of the midnight zone, you can find respite. An interlude, a piece of light, strange sea cucumbers bright, gummy squirrels, tails surfing the brisk ocean current, gading about and chewing on phytoplankton for afternoon tea, each an exuberant yellow checkmark on the ocean floor, as if to always say yes. Abyssal pelagic. The abyssal plane has its own transluminance, its own ghosts and phosphenes, darting objects that swim in our peripheral vision. Sperm whales dive deep, hunting giant squid or creating myths, it's unclear. Bioluminescent horrors that exist only as support systems for teeth, bursting out of the deeps of the abyssal pelagic zone, so sharp they can eat the darkness. Hanopelagic. Darker than the crushing centre of a black hole, nothing lives beneath the depths of the abyss except the dead. Even Beatrice kept this last secret from Dante. The great mystery beyond the concentric rings of hell, where the thought goes not to die, but perhaps to be reborn. No endings, only fathomless beginnings. The abyss looking not into you, but up, up, into the light. The first thing instantly that I love about this poem, like at the top of my head, is that the further away it gets from what we as people can safely manage, the more cosmic and, like, eldritch it feels. Like, bioluminescent horrors that exist only as support system for teeth is a crazy thing to say, and I just love it. Like, it just feels like I can feel that terror. And the hanopelagic section is just like, even Beatrice kept this last secret from Dante. Genuinely, like, reading this, I was just, as soon as I stopped recording the poem, as I do after every poem take to make sure I don't muck it up by making random noises in excitement, I made a random noise in excitement because I just couldn't, like, contain it any longer. Immediately sent this to multiple people. I just think it's so good and evocative, and it's like, genuinely, a lot of the poems that I read or I talk about on this podcast are very, like, convoluted and sort of talk around things, and the subject isn't always the subject, and the thing you think you're focusing on isn't always the focus. This one, it is what it says on the tin. This is what the ocean is. This is what's, like, it uses these very, like, poetic language. But it's not, like, talking away from the issue or around the issue or using, I mean, it's not an issue, it's just the way the ocean is. But it's, like, it's not talking around it, using it as a metaphor for something else. Maybe it is. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing. But I think, like, this speaks of the ocean in a way that, like, very reminiscent to, like, staring into the darkness and knowing that there could be something in the darkness staring back at you into the light. And it's like, yes, 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 I love it. It's so juicy and evocative, and I just, yes. Anyway. Okay, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you guys for coming into the tavern today. Appreciate it. Next week's episode is going to be all about stars. I like stars. Thinking about the ocean made me think about stars. Mostly, like, sitting on the beach at night and seeing the stars reflected off the ocean. Anyway, it got me thinking. That's where we're going. Anyway, I'll see you when we get there. Bye.